Maggie already appeared better from Mrs. Griffin's loving ministrations. She had dropped asleep almost as soon as she was placed in bed. Her white face, with dark hollows beneath the eyes, was sad to see, but a faint smile lingered on her lips, and the smooth forehead, over which fell dark rings of hair curling from the bath, had lost its shadow of fear. A lump seemed to rise in Griffin's throat as he looked at her. His eyes grew dim.
"It's just as if our Polly had come back to us again," he murmured hoarsely. "Not quite like our own little Polly," replied his wife, jealous for her child's memory. "But John will be very good to this child for the sake of our own little Polly."
Aye,
he returned, and if ever a man meant what he said, he did then. Mrs. Griffin nursed Maggie tenderly during the next few days, though her care for the child did not make her neglectful of her husband. But he was hourly becoming less and less of an invalid. Mrs. Griffin was right in her conjecture that all Maggie needed was love and care. Treated with harshness and neglect, and in constant dread of blows, the child had sunk into a miserably low state of mind and body. Crouching for long hours on her comfortless bed in the garret, to which Mrs. Cook had dismissed her, having let all the better rooms, Maggie had sobbed and mourned for the mother who, while she lived, had striven so hard to save her child from suffering. Though often faint for want of food, Maggie had preferred to remain there rather than by going downstairs run the risk of encountering Mrs. Cook,